God bless you. Grace and peace to everybody. It's on the line live, and those that are listening to the playback, welcome to Wednesday in the Word. This is Pastor Susie Wright and the Saints of Zion and our friends and loved ones across the country that are tuned in tonight. You all say praise the Lord tonight.
Praise the Lord.
We appreciate everyone who is on the line with us tonight, and those of you who are listening, those of you who are at work, those of you who are commuting, that are listening, that are on the line with us tonight, and to y'all know my special, special, special saints, our silent saints, our secret saints. They never say anything, but they're always there praying and being very faithful. We love you too, and we appreciate you being on our Bible class line, our Wednesday in the Word, our midweek connection to the Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We're excited about our time together in the Word again on this week, and we will be continuing. We do have a new worksheet, and if you would like to connect with us so that you can receive the information are disseminating each week, be so kind as to check out our website at www.spiritofzion.org, or be so kind as to call us at 804-722-1665 and let us know your desire. We'll be glad to make sure that you are on the email list so that you can join in Wednesday in the Word with us every single Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And with that in mind, we're going to prepare to start our lesson, and we're going to ask one of the most anointed members of my incredible staff. I serve the greatest church in the, there's a lot of churches in the kingdom, but I believe God gifted me with the greatest church in the kingdom, and I have an incredible staff, and one of the anointed vessels on my staff is Apostle Avery Smith, and she is going to open us up with prayer on tonight. Apostle Smith, would you pray for us, please?
Father God, we come in the name of Jesus, Lord. We just like to say thank you, Lord, for one more night, Lord, of being on the prayer line, Lord. Father, we ask you to open our ears, Lord, that we are being tuned to the Spirit on the night, Lord. Oh, Father, we come just to say thank you, Lord. We ask you to put some pastor on tonight, Lord, and use her, Lord, for your glory tonight, Lord. Father, we come in the name of Jesus just to say thank you, Lord. We thank you for the miracles you are doing, Lord. We thank you, Father, for just using our pastor, Lord. Oh, God, mighty, Lord. Oh, God, as she teach us tonight, Lord, oh, God, something new, Father God, things that we didn't even know about, Lord. Father, we are expecting new expectations tonight, Lord. We love you tonight, Lord. And as we come together as one, Lord, and we continue, Lord, to ask you to keep us in the Word each and every day, Lord. As we go forth, Lord, we thank you tonight for the Word that's going to come, Lord. Oh, God, let our hearts burn in the name of Jesus as we come together. Amen and amen. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory
to you,
Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We appreciate you. Thank you so very much. We appreciate you, Apostle Smith. And we just take a moment and just take about 8 seconds, and let's just give God a praise right there before we start, because we thank him for his word. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You're a wonderful Savior. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We love you tonight, Jesus. And we give your name great praise. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your holy and righteous name. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Our soul loves you tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We appreciate the Lord on tonight, and there's never a wrong time to give God praise. Praise is always in order. Praise is always in order. And after the incredible things that the Lord has done in the house of Zion, in your house, in my house, God has just been working miracle after miracle after miracle. And so I'm going to throw this out there before I start, especially to the house of Zion. I have spoken to our kingdom brother just a little while ago, Bishop Nolan Wolf, and he said, tell my brothers and sisters at Zion, don't stop praying because the Lord is working. Glory to God. The Lord is working. He is hearing the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Now, I'm going to tell y'all about it. I ain't going to tell y'all on the line. I'll wait till we get on the prayer line and give a praise report. So I'm going to let you holler on the, so you got to get on the prayer line tonight to get that praise report. Woo-hoo! But I promise we're going to holler and speak in at least three tongues tonight. But we give God all the glory and the devil the loss again. Glory to God. And so we thank God. We thank God. We thank God. We thank God. I promise if I had a hammer, I'd skip right there. And so in the meantime, I'm going to teach this lesson. And so last week in our lesson, we were talking about resurrection corrections. And we started out talking about is it true? Could it have been? Could Jesus have died on Friday and rose on early on Sunday morning? And we were going back and forth and up and down. Some of y'all said yes. Most of y'all said yes, and some of y'all said no. And we were walking that interesting idea/theory down. Could he have died on Friday? Because that's what everybody been preaching. That's what they be screaming across the pulpit. He died on Friday and early Sunday morning. He got up out the grave. And everybody be jumping. But if we check the text.
Let the Lord use you.
We have to kind of rethink that when we look in the scriptures. And some of the scriptures we read last week made us think twice as to whether he really died on Friday. Because, you know, I don't know. We have to look back at that all over again. So let's start with our opening scripture. Let's go back to St. John chapter 19, because that's what threw us all the way to the left. When we start looking at that, we had to start searching again. All right, St. John chapter 19. St. John chapter 19, let's go there. St. John chapter 19. We've got to go all the way down to verse 30. And we read quite a few verses because the verses that we listed on your worksheet were verses 30 through 42, actually. 30 through 42. And if you, we don't have to, you know, I'm not going to make you read all of those tonight, but verse 30, and we talked about, we got stuck. Now, I'm not going to do it again tonight because we could get stuck again, but I'm not going to do it. We talked about when Jesus said, therefore, receive the vinegar. He said, it is fit. Every time y'all read that from now on, I promise you're going to look at it different. He received the vinegar. He said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. I promise every time, if you were on this line last week and you read that scripture again, I promise you're going to look at Jesus and that vinegar completely different. 31, the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day. It was a high day. So if that Sabbath day was the high day, the implication there was if that was a high Sabbath, there must be a low Sabbath. Don't that make sense? That was a high Sabbath, okay? For that Sabbath day was a high day. They besought Pilate that the legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. The soldiers came. They broke the legs of the first, which was of the other, which was crucified with him, 33. But when they came to Jesus and saw he was dead already, they didn't break his leg, 34. But one of the soldiers pierced his side, and out came blood and water, 35. And he saw that it bare record. His record is true. He that knoweth and saith it is true. He said it so that you can believe, 36. For these things were done that the scriptures, that everything that was done concerning the resurrection had to be done because the scriptures had to be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. 37, another scripture saith, and they shall look upon him who they had pierced. So the soldier had to pierce him. Y'all see how scripture's being fulfilled. His legs were not broken because that scripture, that prophecy being fulfilled, but he did have to be pierced. So the soldier pierces him. 38, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, just like secret things, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gives him permission. He therefore took the body of Jesus. 39, there also came Nicodemus, which at first, y'all remember Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, brought the mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight, verse 40, and they took the body of Jesus, wound it in linen cloth and the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. So we were talking about Good Friday until Sunday morning. Is it possible? Yes or no? Yes or no? We were talking about that. And so we stopped on the fact that Good Friday to Easter Sunday, the timing is not biblically accurate, okay? We talked about that. Something is not quite right because in order to understand the timing of it, you have to understand God's timing, because God's timing is the key to understanding the timing of the crucifixion, and the resurrection lies in understanding God's timetable, okay? Understanding God's timetable for counting when days end and begin, as well as the timing of biblical festivals, okay? During the spring of the year when events took place. Because most people have no idea when the Bible talks about two kinds of Sabbath. There's a normal weekly Sabbath day that falls on the seventh day of the week, and then the seventh annual Sabbath day. So you gotta realize that God doesn't begin and end days at midnight like we do. You gotta remember time now. God never changes. We're the ones that changes. That's why we spring forward and fall back. But Jesus is the same yesterday and forever, okay? And then when God sets something in order, he leaves it just like it is, okay? But first you got to realize that God doesn't begin and end the day at midnight like we do. That's a humanly devised method of counting time. So let's look at something. Let's go all the way back to Genesis. Let's look at how God looks at it. Go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 5. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 5. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 5. Genesis chapter 1 first verse, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2, the earth was without form and void, darkness was upon the face of the deep. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 4, and God saw that the light was good. Look at this, verse 4, we're still in verse 4, and God divided the light from the darkness. It's verse 5 that I'm after. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Here it is. Don't miss it. Don't jump over it. Don't read it too fast. Slow your roll. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And the what?
Evening. And the morning.
Right. Not the morning and the evening. Not the morning and the evening. The evening.
The evening.
Right. Not the morning and the evening. The evening.
And
the morning was the first day. See, that's why you can't skip over that. Because that's key right there. The evening and the morning was the first day. So Genesis 1 and 5 tells us quite plainly that God counts a day as beginning with the evening and ending at the next evening. So the evening and the morning were the first day. And God repeats this formula for the entire 6 days of creation. God creates this same step. So let's go a little further. Go to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. That's going to give us some keys in there too. And remember, we answered number 4 while you're turning. Remember, we answered number 4. The choice of a Sunday date for Easter is based on an assumption that Jesus rose early on a Sunday morning. Y'all remember that? We did answer number 4. The choice of a Sunday date for Easter is based on an assumption. This is on your first worksheet, March 13th. It's based on an assumption that Jesus rose early on a Sunday morning. That was number 4. We did answer that. We did answer that last week, okay? Leviticus chapter 23. And if you look in this chapter of Leviticus chapter 23, where you see God lists, you will see, if you read it through, of which, you know, we don't have time to do it tonight, but you will see where God lists all of his holy Sabbaths and festivals. And he makes it clear that they're going to be observed from evening to evening. Walk with me all the way down to verse 32. Go all the way down. You can read the rest of it in your personal study time. But for the sake of class tonight, go all the way down to verse 32. And all the way down to verse 32. Verse 31, ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwelling. Verse 32, it shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your soul in the ninth day of the month at what? At what? At even.
Even.
And then go on. What does the rest of it say? From what? From
even
unto even. Read the rest. Shall ye.
Shall you celebrate the Sabbath.
Right. From even to even. At evening to evening. From evening to evening. In other words, from sunset to sunset. When the sun went down and when evening began. This is why in John, when Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, the followers of Jesus, they hurriedly placed his body in Joseph's nearby tomb just before sundown. When we read in John chapter 19, a Sabbath was beginning. And so Jesus died on the day of preparation, okay, because they had to get him in the tomb. Okay, y'all, are we together? Everybody together? Everybody walking together?
Amen.
They had to get him in the tomb because the Sabbath, it was the evening was creeping up, and the Sabbath was going to begin at sundown. If you look at John chapter 19, verse 31, when no work could be done, all work had to cease on the Sabbath. This is what I want you to do real quick. Go to your second worksheet for just a second. Just a second. I want you to go to your second worksheet because I need, let's talk about the Sabbath for just a second. So let's just get a little bit of a clear understanding on that. Because you hear the word, now you gotta remember, Jesus was Jewish. He was not American. He's everything, but he was, you gotta remember, you have got to study Jewish manners and customs to fully understand, we call who and what we are, Judeo-Christian, but you have to understand manners and customs of Jewish history. This makes you understand the apostles, Jesus. This is why certain things were done. It makes the Bible make sense, okay? So it's imperative that you understand the culture, okay? It's imperative that you understand. So here's the question, because you hear the word Shabbat and you hear the word Sabbath. So a lot of quote-unquote apostolic people get their hips on their shoulders and think it's two different things. And they ask the question, isn't Shabbat and Sabbath the same thing? Isn't that the same thing? Is that the same thing? Is it the same thing? Mm-hmm. Yes or no?
Mm-hmm. No.
Yes or no? Is it the same thing? Yes or no? You
no.
tell me.
No.
It's not the same thing?
I said yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Some
no.
say yes. Some say no. Okay, you answer. You have a yes or a no on your sheet. You have to answer. You know, you can answer verbally, but on your sheet, you answer whether you feel yes or no. We're going to talk about it in just a second, but I need you to, you know, write it down on your sheet. Is Shabbat and Sabbath the same thing? Yes or no? If you say yes, say yes. If you say no, say no. So here it is. Here's the answer. In Abrahamic religions, the Sabbath or Shabbat is the same thing. It is a day of rest and worship. According to the book of Exodus, the Sabbath is a day of rest on the seventh day, commanded by God to be kept as a holy day of rest as God rested from creation. So number two, here it is. So what do the Jews call the Sabbath? The Jewish Sabbath, Shabbat, that's what they call it. They call it Shabbat.
Shabbat.
S-H-A. Uh-huh.
Okay.
It's observed every week. And we just been talking about it. It's observed every week beginning, watch this and write this down. It begins every week at sunset on Friday evening, ending after dark on Saturday evening. It begins at sunset on Friday evening, and it ends after dark on Saturday evening. For religiously observant Jews, Shabbat is as important as any other holy day for them. So you got to look at that timing. Beginning at sunset on Friday evening and ending after dark on Saturday evening. So I'm sure you're thinking now, how is it that they can get Jesus off the cross before sunset on Friday evening, and he spent 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth and get up early Sunday morning? Okay, I'm going to let you think about stuff. Yeah, y'all just think about it. Just think about it.
You can't.
Well, I said Thursday.
I was saying that last week.
Okay, let's do number three while you're there, while you're holding this. Let's do number three. Shabbat is a day of holiness, as in H-O-L-I-N-E-S-S, holiness. Set apart and elevated. Set apart and elevated above the rest of the week. Shabbat is a day of holiness. Holy, not W, no, H-O-L-I-N-E-S-S, holiness, set apart and elevated above the rest of the week. The special laws pertaining to Shabbat, pertaining or preserve its sanctity and beauty, because holiness is beautiful. I know if you don't look at it that way, you have not had a real glimpse of Jesus. If holiness is not beautiful to you, Lord have mercy. Special laws pertaining to Shabbat preserve its sanctity and its beauty. Because some people think, on Shabbat, they just turn all the lights off and sit in the dark. That is not what happens on the Sabbath for them. That's not what they do on Shabbat. Turn all the lights off and sit in the dark. That's why you need to study. That's why you need to study. And if you talk to someone who is Jewish, if you talk to someone with a Jewish background, you talk to any of the Nicenes, the rabbis, anyone who observes Shabbat, they will tell you, they'll be glad to explain to you and help you understand. Yes. There's a lot of things that go into it. However, it is a holy time for them. It is a very special time for them. It's a day of holiness set apart and elevated above the rest of the week. The special laws pertaining to Shabbat preserve its sanctity and beauty. Everybody got that?
Yes.
Okay, everybody got that? That's why they take the children out of school. They do not work. You know, it's a day that's set apart. Their whole focus is on the holiness of the day. Okay? The Hebrew language has two words when it comes to the Sabbath. It talks about there being no work. We read that in the scripture. You're to do no work. In the Hebrew language, there are two words for work. I'm going to spell it for you. I'm not going to mess with you and have y'all cracking up on this line trying to say it. So I'm going to spell it for you. There's two words. All right, everybody ready? The first word is avodah. It is spelled A, V as in Victoria, O-D-A-H, avodah. A, V as in Victoria, O-D as in David, A-H, avodah. That is the first word for work. That's the first word. Let me know when you're ready.
Ready.
Okay.
Ready.
All right. The first word is avodah. Everybody say avodah.
Avodah.
Right. A-V-O-D-A-H. All right. I'm going to tell you what it means. You can write it on the side or wherever you find some space. It's a general term meaning work. Very general. The second word is malakha. It is spelled M as in Mary, E-L-A-C-H-A-H. I'll spell it again. M as in Mary, E-L-A-C-H-A-H. Malakha. That's when you got to put your tongue in the back of your throat and say, Melacha. Yeah. M-E-L-A, and I'm sure I'm not quite pronouncing it precisely, but that's close. M-E-L-A-C-H-A-A. That has a very precise meaning.
C-H-A-H.
Uh-huh. M as in Mary, E-L like Larry, A-C-H-A-H. Okay, the first word I gave you goes in that third blank, avodah, a general term meaning work. Avodah, that goes in that third blank. Avodah is a general term meaning work, while malacha has a very precise meaning.
Oh, sad. Okay.
On Shabbat, it's the word malacha that is prohibited. Between those two words, it's this second word, malacha, that one. That is the one that is prohibited. It is, and you see where I put it is absolutely prohibited. Everybody still together?
Yes.
Say it again, Pastor.
Okay, I will read number four again. The Hebrew language has two words for work. Avodah, A-V-O-D-A-H, and malacha.
Mm-hmm.
Avodah, a general term meaning work, while malacha has a very precise meaning. On Shabbat, malacha is absolutely prohibited. That's the whole of number four. Y'all see how, y'all got it?
Yeah.
That makes sense. That makes sense to you now? Y'all got it? Everybody together now? It's that second term. It's that second one that's absolutely prohibited because it's very, very specific, very precise. Do I need to read it again? Y'all good?
I'm good.
Okay. All right. Here we at number five. We're at number five. Jewish scholars explain that malacha refers to the activities which were necessary for the construction. That's what goes there. The construction, we know it as the tabernacle, the traveling sanctuary. I started to let y'all figure that out, but I said, no, let me just go on and give it to you. The tabernacle, we know it as the tabernacle, the traveling sanctuary, which the Jews took with them throughout their desert wandering. The Jewish scholars explain that malacha refers to the activities which were necessary for the construction. We know it as the tabernacle, the traveling sanctuary, which the Jews took with them throughout their desert wandering. Oh, we are good. It's 7:45, and you're finishing your second worksheet. And although I'm not going to go into the specifics, this is how broad malacha is. I'm sorry, I wish I could say it right. But I will tell you this. if you Google and if you type it in just like this, pronounce the Hebrew word and spell it in, you'll see the YouTube pronunciation come up and you can rehearse it with it because the proper pronunciation will come up. That's how I, between Nasi Green and those pronunciations, that's how I get it right. I know y'all, I was like, how she did it? Honey, it takes a lot of practice. It takes a lot of practice. All right. So with number six, we all ready to move to number six? Everybody good?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, here we are. All right. There are, and I mean, and this was mind-blowing, Leo. This is mind-blowing. There are 39 general categories of labor that are forbidden on Shabbat. 39 general categories that are of labor. 39 categories of labor that are forbidden on Shabbat. They are divided into six categories. 39 general categories. I meant to say they're divided into six groups or classified into six groups, but I said six categories. Whatever, you understand. 39 general categories of labor that are forbidden on Shabbat. They are divided into six. I said categories. You can cross it out and put six groups because that's what I really meant to say, six groups. You can leave it as categories, whatever, but I'm going to give it to you. Here we are. Are y'all ready? Here we go. Number one, or A. A is field work. Any type of field work, such as sowing, plowing, reaping, etc., etc. Any type of field work is prohibited on the Sabbath, on Shabbat. You cannot do that. That's A, field work. Everybody say field work.
Field work.
Right. All right. B. Making material curtains. Anything that's similar to that. Making material curtains. That means you can't sew, you can't dye material, you can't spin any type of wool. You can't, anything that has anything to do with anything like that, you can't do anything like that. But it's listed under making material curtains. Anything related to that is forbidden. That is B, making material curtains. So anything that has to do with making curtains, whether you're dying, I just need to hem that up right there. Nope, you can't do none of it. Let me just cut that thread right there. Nope, you can't do none of it. It's going to have to hang until after. All right. C, making leather curtains. Making leather curtains. That means you can't slaughter an animal to make anything leather curtains, boots, shoes, nothing. You can't tan, you can't skin an animal, you can't do any smoothing, you can't, nothing. None of that. Anything that goes into making leather curtain, making leather clothes, making leather anything is forbidden. But the category is called making leather curtains. Curtains can be listed under clothing. You know, that's very general. It's a very general term. That just means you can't do it. All right? That is C, A, B, and C. Here is D. And this was interesting to me. It's called making the beams, as in B as in boy, E-A-M as in Mary, S, making the beams of Mishkan. Making the beams, like B-E-A-M-S of Mishkan, M-I-S-H-K-A-N. And I'll tell you what that means in a second. Making the beams of Mishkan, M-I-S-H-K-A-N. That means you can do no writing or erasing.
Really?
You cannot do any kind of writing or erasing. You can't take notes. You can't take a personal note. You can't write down a message. You can't do any of that. And you cannot erase anything. No writing, no erasing of any kind.
Wow.
It's under the group of making the beams, B-E-A-M-S, of Mishkan. No writing, no erasing.
Stop it.
A, B, C, D, E. All right, here we are at E. Putting up and taking down of the Mishkan. Putting up and taking down of the Mishkan. M-I-S-H-K-A-N. That means nothing that has to do with building anything or demolishing anything. No construction of any type. No deconstruction of any, not even Legos, honey.
Wow.
Tell your kids, you can't play with the Legos, you know? Because, you know, when kids play with Legos, they build stuff, and they, you know, kids will build it, and they'll tear it down. Nope, you got to put all the Legos up and lock it up. Nope.
Mm.
No building or demolishing of any kind. Of any kind. Putting up and taking down of the Mishkan. M-I-S-H-A-A-N. These are the Shabbat laws. These are the Shabbat laws. This is he, putting up and taking down of the Mishkan. No, nothing that has to do anything. And this applies to the children too. Building or demolishing. Nothing. 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 All right? Everybody good?
Amen.
Yes.
Okay, and here is F. Or number six, if you're, you know, however you're doing it. F is the Mishkan final touches. The Mishkan final touches. What does that mean? No extinguishing fires. No extinguishing anything. You cannot kindle a fire. None of that. You have to start your fire before Shabbat starts. You can continue one, but you can't kindle one. You can continue one, but you can't start one. You can't extinguish it. You can keep it going, but you can't extinguish it. If it goes out, you can't start it back. Jewish families are very strategic. Is, let's just say you have a gas stove. Even with their food preparation, they prepare everything the day before. And to keep the food hot, they just leave it on warm. They have warmers. And, you know, warmers, and the way they set everything up, they set it up to last from even to even. You got to remember, they've been doing this all their lives. So they know exactly how to strategically do this. That means you can't turn lights on and off. So they have it strategically. You can't do that. So they have their lights set on timers. They have it on timers. So you set your timers. So you don't touch it. You can't touch it. It's forbidden. So you have to set your house up. You have to prepare your house. Because everything concerning you must adhere to the Shabbat law. There are even, what I discovered, Leo, which was very interesting, there are certain hotels that accommodate Jewish people on Shabbat. Because they can't lock and unlock doors. Their doors, they can't open and shut. But they'll have it where certain hotels, they have it where people will come and open and close doors for them, lock and unlock doors for them, because it's Shabbat, and they work with each other. They work with each other.
Right.
Because I can open a door for them, but they can't open the door for themselves.
Oh,
so it's very strategic. If they're on vacation, you know, they have to set themselves up. If they're away from their home, their community is so well knit that there are certain hotels that will accommodate them properly so that they don't break any laws on Shabbat. It is phenomenal the way they are set up. And certain hotels accommodate them specifically for that and their families, even with certain feast days, so that they do not break their laws and that they are completely accommodated so they can celebrate their festivals, celebrate their feast days, so they do not break their laws. That's how important Shabbat and Sabbath is for them, because it's a holy day. It's a holy day. That's how much they honor God. Here's my question to you. How far are you willing to go to honor God?
Mm-hmm. We're talking about Saturday, right?
Huh? I'm sorry?
Saturday, right?
It's irrelevant of the day. It's what you're doing on it. The day is Friday evening at sunset to Saturday evening at sunset. That is their Shabbat.
Oh.
Friday sundown. Remember we just talked about, I just gave that to you. Friday at sunset to Saturday at sunset. Even to even.
Friday evening to Saturday evening.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So the person at the hotels is opening the doors and whatnot for the Jewish people that are celebrate, they have to be non-believers, right?
They have to be, because they can't break the law. So let's just say for some reason they needed to go out of their room. Most times they don't even go out of their room. But let's just say for some reason they had to go out of their room. I mean, if it's an emergency, mm-hmm. let's just say the hotel, there was a fire, something like that. Of course, you know, somebody would let them, there's somebody, you are alerted, whoever's at the front desk, whatever, they know they're in that room. They'll make sure that they get out of that room. Because they will not break that law. They will make sure that somebody specifically gets them out of that room. They will make sure mm-hmm. that there is a way. And even there are some hotels that actually have a mechanism that can open the door for them so they don't have to touch the door. I was floored when I saw it, Leo. And you know, you travel mm-hmm. a lot. And you know, wow. Some of them, there are specific hotel rooms where there's a mechanism in the room that can open the door for them in case of an emergency. So they don't. That's how far they'll go not to break the law. And that's what hit my spirit. How far are you willing to go to keep the day, to make sure, this is how sacred Shabbat is to them. They'll go as far as it's necessary because that day is holy to them. And they've done this their entire life. This is how they raise their children. Their children are accustomed to, you know, let's put it this way. In Bishop Samuel and Dr. Nellie Wright's house, we were raised that you don't play in the living room. Well, we were children of the 60s and 70s. I don't know what y'all do with y'all children now, but you didn't clean the living room. You know, they didn't put no plastic over their furniture. They didn't put no plastic on the carpet. We cleaned it. We kept it together, but them doors was closed. It was for company only. I mean, the church, some of the saints was in there, but we never played in there. We never played in the living room. I got the beating of my life for running through there. not the children of the 60s and 70s. No, you didn't play in that living room. Your mama's good furniture was in that living room. You were raised like that. You were accustomed to it. And children in Jewish community, you are raised in, you're raised with Shabbat. You're raised with mikvahs. You know what mikvahs are. You know the Jewish customs. You know, there's the grocery stores in their community. Everything is because you're raised in a culture, in a particular culture, it's second nature to you. Everything, you know what kosher is because you're raised in it. You know what's kosher. You know what's not kosher. You understand that. You understand the laws. You're raised in it. You know, your bar mitzvah, you're studying from that. You're studying for that. You're preparing for that all of your life. You're prepared for that because that's your culture. This is what we do. This is why we study. This is why we study the culture of the Jewish people. This is why we study Jewish manners and customs so that we understand what Jesus understood. We understand why it's impossible for him to have been buried on Friday and to get up on Sunday morning, because if Friday evening to Saturday evening was only one day, Saturday evening to Sunday evening was one day, it's impossible. He would have been all the way in the next week before it was 3 days and three nights. He said, I'm going to be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. So that's impossible. So this is what I want you to tell me. By the time we come back for Bible study to finish our, you'll still get a new worksheet. When we finish our old one and still get another one, because I need to interject Sabbath, and I'll give you your word for the week next week with your new worksheet. Anyway, on next week, I want you to tell me, now that you understand, you looked at Genesis, you looked at John chapter 19, look at all the scriptures in our old worksheet, and our worksheet today, and the scriptures we discussed, I want you to tell me what day did Jesus die? And what day did he actually rise? Because you got to remember, traditionally, this Sunday is Palm Sunday. So somewhere this week, Jesus is on the cross. Somewhere this week, he going to be put in the tomb. And somewhere this week, he going to rise. I need y'all to tell me which day it is. Don't be blurting it out on the phone on the night, because don't nobody want to hear it. We're going to talk about it next week. We're going to talk about it next Wednesday. I need y'all to work out your soul salvation with fear and trembling. Okay, while the rest of the country, and y'all see flyers all over your social media, people having their Good Friday services, and I promise across the country, you're going to hear all kinds of messages about how he died on Friday and got up on Sunday, and it's going to make you, all y'all on this line, going to think twice. Every time you hear it from now on, you're going to be like, I'm going to need you to look at that one more time. I need you to search the scriptures, because the Bible said, in them you think. And you're going to have to think again. You're going to have to think again. That's not possible. If evening and the morning were the first day, that's not possible for him to be put in the grave on Friday and get up on Sunday. Because one of the scriptures that we read said, when the women came to the tomb, it was early. It was early. He was already gone. Mm-hmm. So I want you to backtrack. Y'all backtrack those scriptures. And when we get on the line, that's what you're going to see on the top of your worksheet. Exactly when did they actually put him in the tomb? And when did he get up and go? Oh, Jesus, I hear a mouse all the way in Zion licking on a piece of cotton. But I know y'all got the right answer, because y'all going to study this out. I know you're going to study. And it's real stuff. The answer is right in front of you. I promise. If you just back up a little bit and look at those scriptures again, the answer is right in front of you. Just back it up. Just look. Count the days. Remember what a day is to God, evening and morning. And he said, I'll be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Do your math, and let's talk about it next week. All right, I love you. I'm going to pray you out, and we'll be back on the line at 8:30 with praise reports and prayer requests, thanking God for the miraculous, glorious things that he has done in our life. Our incredible anointed prayer leader is going to lead us to the throne of grace. And we, again, next week at 7 o'clock, we're going to be back answering these questions and digging into the Word of God again. I'm so glad I got y'all thinking, because that's what we do in Bible study and Wednesday in the Word. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We praise you. We absolutely love and adore you. We love you so much, God, because we cannot exhaust you. There is so much about you that we can just keep searching. We can keep digging. We can keep uncovering. We can keep discovering so much about you. And every time we think we've got a little corner covered, there's something else we discover, because you're that much God. We absolutely love you. We are fascinated with you. We thank you because you're beautiful to us, and you are just incredible, and we thank you. It's a pleasure to worship you, God. It's a pleasure to serve you. Thank you for these moments in the Word, and to all of these faithful saints, these faithful friends, and for all of the saints that have gathered with us tonight for Wednesday in the Word. God, I ask you to just open the revelation of the text to them as they search these questions this week. God, I thank you that their answers will be full and complete on next week. And we give you praise and we give you glory. And it's in Jesus' name we commit all things into your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.